The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 14, Text Number 46, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on September 12th, 2009, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 14, Text Number 46. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasya vangshastu naishada girikanana gochara yenaharajjayamano venakalmasham ubanam tasya vangshastu naishada Giri Kanana Gochara Yane Harajayamano Vena Kalmasham Ubanam. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. After his, the Shada's birth, he immediately took charge of all the resultant actions of King Vena's sinful activities. As such, this Nishada class are always engaged in sinful activities like stealing, plundering, and hunting. Consequently, they are only allowed to live in the hills and forests, purport. The Nishadas are not allowed to live in cities and towns because they are sinful by nature. As such, their bodies are very ugly, and their occupations are also sinful. We should know, however, that even these sinful men, who are sometimes called kiratas, can be delivered from their sinful condition to the topmost Vaishnava platform by the mercy of a pure devotee. Engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord can make anyone, however sinful he may be, fit to return home back to Godhead. One has only to become free from all contamination by the process of devotional service. In this way, everyone can become fit to return home back to Godhead. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 9:32. Manghi partavya pashritya ye pishu papiyonaya shtiyo vaishastata shudras te piyanti paramgitin. O son of Prita, those who take shelter of me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishas, merchants as well as Shudras workers can approach the supreme destination. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta reports, the 4th canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Story of King Vena.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajima Sadhaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva. Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So what we are seeing here described, actually, it happened like that in Prabhupada's pastimes. When he went to Africa, Prabhupada went to Africa, Prabhupada's clothes were hung out, they were washed and hung out to dry, and the next morning, and then his clothes disappeared, and the next morning in the temple, the brahmacharis had on Prabhupada's clothes. They stole Prabhupada's clothes. He's an African, fresh new recruit African devotee. So there is that nature which was shown. I mean, nowhere else would we heard that anyone stole Prabhupada's clothes. The brahmachari stole the clothes of Srila Prabhupada. Of course, they were sufficiently rebuked by Brahmananda Swami. And the clothes were returned to Srila Prabhupada, and they surrendered. So, there is such tendencies as described here. It's not simply some old-fashioned racist dogma. It's a fact. There are such tendencies. But they can be completely overcome by Krishna consciousness. So, in Krishna consciousness movement, we focus on the positive side of it. No matter what your position may be, and actually we're all fallen, we shouldn't proudly think ourselves greater than someone else. Because we're all fallen in our own particular ways, one person is fallen in one way, another one is fallen in another way. So in this age we are all fallen. So we are dependent on that mercy of Guru and Krishna to save us from our fallen condition. To become very proud of oneself, that in itself is a cause for falling. So we have to be very careful not to become proud of a certain material designation. That will be a stumbling block for us on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. We have to consider ourselves the servants of the Vaishnavas and even the servants of the people in general. Our first service to them is to give them Krishna consciousness. Unless we can feel ourselves the humble servants, then there will be difficulty in our consciousness. There will be pride in our consciousness. See? Instead of feeling compassion, we will feel hateful towards others. Envious. You see? So we have to always be in that mood of loving and serving the Vaishnava. And the general population, especially the innocent class of men. This is the difference between a materialistic neophyte devotee and a devotee who is intermediate stage. The materialistic devotee is called Kanishta Adhikari. And the devotee who is advanced, he is called Madhyama Adhikari in their intermediate stage. So the Majjhama, he has very nice loving dealings with Vaishnavas and also with the innocent class of men. And even the envious persons, he doesn't maintain enmity towards them. He simply avoids them because he knows he can't have much impact on their consciousness. So to actually feel love, to manifest compassion towards others. This is one of the qualities of a Vaishnava. Describe a Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy. So, we have to actually learn how to love, especially the devotees of Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna will never accept our devotion. As is stated in the Adi Purana, Name Bhaktashtate, what is that? Yeme bhaktas, what is it? Yeme bhaktas, yeme bhaktas, jana parta, name bhaktas, cha janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhakta, yeme bhakta tamamata. One who is the devotee of my devotee, you see, he is my devotee. Not the one who is my devotee only. Krishna says, the one who is my devotee, ye me bhakta, na me bhaktas. He is not my devotee. You see? One who says, I am Krishna's devotee, but he is not devoted to the devotees of Krishna, Krishna rejects him. He is nonsense. You see? Only that person who is the devotee of my devotee, only him do I accept as being my actual devotee. So this Society for Krishna Consciousness is a very, very good facility for developing our Krishna consciousness, because we have so much opportunity to associate with devotees in six kinds of loving exchanges given by Srila Rupa Goswami, to give gifts to the Vaishnavas, to accept gifts from the Vaishnavas, to serve prasadam to the Vaishnavas, to accept prasadam from the hands of the Vaishnavas, to reveal your heart to the Vaishnavas and open your heart when they reveal their heart to you. You see, these are the six kinds of loving exchanges between the devotees. So if we will engage in these loving exchanges with Vaishnavas, then we can deepen our feelings of love for the Vaishnavas, and then our real Krishna consciousness will become manifested, become awakened. Otherwise, it's just a shadow of Krishna consciousness. It's not real Krishna consciousness, according to Krishna. It's just a shadow. It's not real Krishna consciousness. What good is a shadow? If I give you a shadow of a prasadam, can you be nourished by them? No, you have to have the real prasadam. The shadow of bhakti doesn't nourish the self. We have to have the real thing, then we can become nourished. Bhakti pareshanu varo bhaktir anyatra chai shatrika eka kalaha prapadyamanash yatasnanashush tushti pushti chudapayo nagasam. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. How one can measure the actual awakening of bhakti within the heart. There are three things. One, you actually feel love for Krishna. That's the first item. The second item is, you become conscious of Krishna within everything. You become more and more aware of Krishna's presence within everything, wherever you go. And the third item is, you become detached from sense gratification. You're no longer interested in sense gratification. And then Bhagavatam says, that just as these three occur simultaneously in the heart of the devotee, just in the same way that satisfaction of the tongue, eradication of hunger and nourishment occur increasingly with each bite from one who is engaged in the activity known as eating. See, we all have experience of eating. You all eat. So you know what it means to eat. You become satisfied, you become nourished, your hunger goes away. With each bite, you see, you're increasing your satisfaction. So in the same way, through this process of devotional service, as we are actually awakening our dormant Krishna consciousness, we will feel the transformation in our heart. No one has to certify that now you are Krishna conscious. It doesn't require any external verification. You will experience it. If you're actually becoming Krishna conscious, you'll experience the difference within your heart. You'll feel the difference. No one has to tell you, now you are Krishna conscious. So we have to live our lives in such a way that we will actually experience that transformation of consciousness. We don't want to simply be show bottle devotees, you see, putting some tilak on the nose, some kantimala on the neck, some sika, some or sari or dhoti like that. We don't want to just be show bottle devotees, you see, like dancing dogs. We want to be real Vaishnava, who actually experience melting of the heart when hearing the transcendental name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, and paraphernalia being described those of the Supreme Lord being the scribe, you see. Then we are actually awakening our Krishna consciousness. That as soon as we hear the name Krishna, we become ecstatic to hear the word Krishna, you see. That is Krishna consciousness. Not that we chant mechanically Hare Krishna. Of course, mechanical chanting is good if that's all you can do. Even if it's mechanical, do it mechanically. And then gradually it will, the non-mechanical original Shuddhanam will awaken within the heart. For the neophyte, it's many times it's a mechanical process. I'm just doing it as a routine business because I've been told I have to do this to become Krishna conscious. It's like it's a patient taking the medicine. So even if it's mechanical in the beginning, do it dutifully. Chant 16 rounds, follow the principles. Work together in the Society for Krishna Consciousness under the guidance of temple leaders, spiritual masters. In this way, do your duty in Krishna Consciousness. And then, gradually, the original spontaneous Raganuga platform will become awakened. And you will feel a transformation of the heart. Spontaneous attraction for Krishna will gradually manifest. This is real Krishna consciousness. Right now it's Krishna consciousness in practice. But that stage is Krishna consciousness with full realization. So we should dutifully practice now, and then in due course the realization will be there. And we will feel genuine compassion for the fallen souls, that how much they are suffering without Krishna consciousness. We will feel genuine love for Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Yeah. I wonder about this. About the verse here where the Nishara, he takes the sinful reactions from Vena.
Yeah.
Once I don't really grasp it, how you can actually get someone else's reactions, actually. It's like a law, you know. It's not, you know,
someone. Well, it is karma, obviously.
But it seems that also, like you have Maharaj Shivi, who of course he gave his pious activities to Yayati. Isn't there a story like that? But that itself was such a pious activity that he.
So your question is, how can someone get the sinful activities of someone else?
Yeah, and afterwards be sinful. Actually, it would seem that actually this Nishada has done such a pious activity to have accepted the sinful activity that even you would have been a very pious person.
Well, it's obvious. Whatever he gets is his karma. You see, karma chakra is a universal law. Whatever he's getting, it's his karma. Who knows what he, you know, what he was in his previous life? Maybe he could have. Maybe he was Vena's right-hand man in his tyranny. You know, in his previous life, his tyrannical rule. He was his henchman. He did all the dirty work on behalf of the king. Something like that. You see. We don't know, but when we do know that whatever he got was karma. For his previous sinful activities. That's a thing. Any other question? Yeah.
Yeah, probably you said that we should try to do things even mechanically.
Try one.
You can do things even mechanically.
Yeah, if in the beginning, what you can do. If it's, but you should do your duty, even if it seems mechanical.
Years goes, yeah, and some like went maybe 5-6 years, and those people, some people, you know, they sleep 6 hours because Prabhupada said but you can see that maybe they are higher or something, yeah? Like how long you should continue? Because
well, Prabhupada also said 7 hours, and even in one place he said 8. So 6 hours is ideal, 6 or less if one can do that, but if one is having difficulty, there's nothing wrong with taking more sleep. But if one is pushing oneself and is enlivened in Krishna consciousness, even if he's fighting off sleep, that is actually a very glorious thing. But not if his health is deteriorating. Then he's going too far. Because one has to stay healthy for a lifetime of service. But if one is, you know, fighting off sleep and remaining healthy at 6 hours, there is no harm with him.
Succeed, okay, so you're trying year after year, and sometimes you come to this situation that you don't want to see the truth, that maybe you should sleep more or...
Man, what's his point? You don't follow? You say he didn't sleep enough, so he failed the exam, is that your point?
No, but you can compare this. Like somebody is trying, okay, Prabhupada said this, I will try this year after year, like some people trying to get education year after year, but they don't want to accept that maybe, you know, this rule is impossible for them, yeah? So how many years they should try, like how long this should go, because...
They should, in these kind of specific situations, they should ask their spiritual master. The point is to do whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject whatever is unfavorable. And that's the real point. As long as you make Krishna the center of your activities, then you're in making solid advancement. But if one enters into the realm of acting for the sake of sense gratification, things will never be clear. Things will always be confused because one is acting on a false platform of I am the body. But if one acts on the platform of spirit soul, then Krishna is within the heart, you see. Sarvasya cha aham sridhi sannavishto mataksmatir gyanam apohanam cha. Krishna within the heart, he will give the intelligence, you see. What should be done, what should not be done. Tesham satata yuktanam prajadam pratipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yena mamupiyanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding with which they can come to me. So, if one is acting for the pleasure of Krishna, then Krishna within will guide him how to do things in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. And that's really the only thing the devotee has to do in his life, is please Krishna. It's the only thing he has to do. If he's pleased Krishna, his life is a success. He's the most successful person in the whole world. If he's pleased Krishna. He may be a material failure. Look at Kulavecchar Sridhar. He was a failure, materially. He was trying to earn a living by making little cups out of banana leaves, you see. But banana leaves are growing everywhere in Mayapur. How much profit he can make? He used, in his little hut there in Mayapur, he used to cry in ecstasy in the evenings of love of God. The neighbors thought he was crying out of hunger because he didn't have enough to eat. But actually, he was crying in the ecstasy of love of God. Lord Chaitanya came and blessed him with his personal association. So who can say that Kulavecchar Sridhar, whatever money he made, he spent half of it on worshipping the Ganga. Who can say he was a failure because he didn't get this big success and that big success in the material world? He was the greatest success because he got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. But we are not against material success. We encourage our devotees who are inclined to be materially successful, to go for it, because we liked it. That can help our movement, you see. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna Gandhi's businessman, he can aspire to be the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. You see, just imagine if we had a devotee who was more wealthy than Bill Gates, you see, how much money he could give to help this movement. So we are not against material success using Krishna's service. Arjuna was a great material success. He was the number one success in his profession. You see. So whatever one's profession is, we encourage them to be successful. Not the devotee has to be a failure in the material world to become Krishna conscious. No. Actually, wherever there is Narayan, Lakshmi is already there also. So there's nothing wrong to be materially successful, as long as it doesn't interfere with one's Krishna consciousness. You see. If one uses material success for sense gratification, it's better not to be materially successful, because that becomes one's undoing, you see. But if one can engage material success in Krishna's service, then he should become more and more successful, because then he's able to increase his service to Krishna more and more and more and more and more. Any other questions? Yeah.
Prabhu, you mentioned the importance of chanting proper rounds. So my question is, many devotees, they create some methods or some even chant some of the rounds in their mind. So could you maybe give some directions that Prabhupada gave of chanting?
Yeah, Prabhupada said chant 16 rounds round the beads. That means the so-called mental japa and the so-called clicker japa are not following Prabhupada's instructions. Round the beads means you have your hand on the beads, and you're going round the beads. That's the instruction given by Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita purport, chanting round the beads. So it's also beneficial to chant, it's also recommended, if possible, to chant before sunrise, you see, when the modes of nature are most conducive for transcendental meditation. Brahma Muhurta, you see. So, we recommend them. I know years ago when I was a brahmachari in our Atlanta temple, the head cook, he had to cook breakfast during the japa period. He had no japa period with all the other devotees. But he was very intelligent. He would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, take his bath and chant all of his round before Mangalarti. And then when all the devotees were down in the prasadam room taking breakfast, he would just go to sleep immediately. As soon as the offering was done, he'd go to sleep. When the brahmachari ashram was quiet, you see, he would get a good nap every day, regulated. It was like clockwork. You could set your watch to his sadhana, you see. He was so regulated. And I was so inspired, I decided to join him. He used to get up at 2 o'clock also. And it was so wonderful. It was so peaceful. We'd get up between 2:30 and 4:30. We'd chant our rounds together, the two of us in the temple room. It was really sweet. So sleep, of course, some people who have insomnia may not be possible, but some of us can sleep anytime we want. So why not get up early and then take some rest later on, you see, instead of chanting in the middle of the day when there's phone calls, going here, going there, trying to chant around here, around there, being totally distracted with all our service, you know. It's very nice if one can get all one's rounds done before you even think about doing any service.
Seriously, our pujari here, he's doing the morning altar every day, and he's getting up at 2 o'clock.
Oh, very good. Jai. That's very good, yes. He has also had the same wonderful realization. And that early morning is pure gold. And why gold? Platinum, pure platinum. You see? And the early morning hours are your pure platinum. Because yeah, you, japa means you're directly associating with Krishna. You see, who wants to be distracted from having associating with Krishna? By this thing, that thing, phone calls, Prabhu, can you do this? Prabhu, what's happening here? No. devotee wants to have the best possible japa every day. And the householders, before they go to work, you see, instead of finishing their rounds late at night, go to bed early as possible, get up, finish your rounds before you head out for the office. And then you'll be Krishna conscious the whole day at work because you've surcharged your battery, you see, your spiritual battery. I mean, who would want to leave the home without having your mobile phone fully charged? That important call will come in and you'll miss the call, you see. So do you mean to say that you're giving more importance to your mobile phone than you are to your Krishna consciousness? What kind of mentality is that? See? So you should fully... Why 16 rounds? They ask. Well, that's a full charge, you see. Just like on your mobile phone, a mind will say, fully charged, you know, it hits a certain point. A little sign comes up, fully charged, you see. Well, 16 rounds is fully charged consciousness. So we recommend before you be either a brahmachari in the temple, a householder living at home, before you begin your daily duties, whether it's working a job or going out and distributing books or whatever it may be, get those rounds done. And then you'll be much more Krishna conscious while you're doing your duties, you see. And then you go to XYZ Corporation on Monday morning, you'll see, this is the energy of Krishna. This company is the energy of Krishna. Bhumirapo nalo vayu kangmano vadarevacha ahankara iti yame bina prakritir ashtada. You will see it is the energy of Krishna. Think, let me engage this company in Krishna's service by extracting some money from them that I can spend in a Krishna conscious way for Krishna's pleasure. You see? In this way. Yes?
What about chanting in the mind?
After you get 16 rounds, then that's fine. If you want to think about Krishna all day, that's great. But mental chanting is not powerful enough to actually bring the mind to Krishna's lotus feet. It's not strong enough in this age. That's why it is said, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Eva Kevalam, in this age. Simply chanting in the mind is remembrance. That's Krishna Smaranam, and that's very nice. But it doesn't say, you know, that sloka is not remember Krishna, remember Krishna. It's chant Krishna, you see. It's the sloka is that you should chant Krishna, not just remember Krishna. Questions more? Everyone's satisfied now? Yeah?
Prabhupada said that one needs about 6 to 7 to 8 hours. So if somebody sleeps for 8 hours, they can be avoiding the mangalati and all that, they can be avoiding.
Should someone say, I need 8 hours so I don't have to go to mangalati?
Yeah, so
that what you're asking? No, actually, the real question is, why did Prabhupada want us to observe Mangalarti? If you understand that, then you can, that will help you understand the answer to the question. Mangalarti is most auspicious, and the reason it is auspicious is there's a blessing. If you've studied the ninth prayer, it's the Gravastika. But there's a ninth prayer also, which describes the benefit of chanting these eight prayers. And in the ninth prayer, it is stated that anyone who chants this prayer during the Brahma Muhurta, they will obtain at the time of death the direct service of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So, do you want to go back to Godhead? Do you want to wake up in Krishna's pastime when you leave your body? Then observe Mangalarti. See, Prabhupada didn't whimsically say, I want him to do this, 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 this. Everything that Prabhupada gave us has a reason. So we recommend that everyone, either at home or in the temple, they should observe sing their Gravastakam prayers in the early morning hours with a little arti. I want all my disciples who are under my direction to do that. And I recommend that everybody in ISKCON should also do that, because Prabhupada taught us to do that. He introduced this for a reason. It's not simply some ritual. There's a reason, a scientific principle behind observing Mangalarti. Even if you only have 5 minutes on a very tight schedule, in 5 minutes you can sing their Gavastakam prayers and offer, it can be done, even 5 or 10 minutes. One has to get to work at 7:30 in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning, according to different schedules. Yes.
Actually, I've noticed that in Prabhupada's letters, he writes many places, so kindly follow all our principles.
Yeah.
And most places actually says, kindly follow all our principles, such as rising early, taking shower, attending arti.
Yes.
I mean, one might think that, he would refer to the related principles, but it's, in most cases, the first principle he cites is rising early.
Rising early is very important.
Yeah, and probably he emphasized that. Prabhupada emphasized that when you see actually.
Yeah, it's very important. Don't let the sun catch you sleeping. Don't let the sunrise catch you sleeping. That means you're a tamaguni in the mode of ignorance. Yeah. Chanting in your sleep?
I was trying to sleep.
You tried that?
To chant in my mind.
So were you able to do it? Were you able to chant in your sleep? Were you able to do it?
Trying to chant in his mind while sleeping.
Was it working?
When you
tried to chant yourself to sleep.
Yeah.
When you lay down and go to sleep, you try to chant yourself to sleep. That's very nice.
And my question is that if it's because I were curious about what happened if I sleep with this conscience.
Yeah.
And this
so what happened to you? What happened when you did that?
I don't know in the future if I can.
Did you have a nice dream about Krishna?
This is my dream.
Huh?
To find out, but because he's not falling asleep, then he's trying to sleep by chanting. So.
Yeah, that's very nice.
But
transcendental lullaby. Hare Krishna.
It's not offensive that because his song seems like some interpreter song. This is my question.
What's the question?
Is it offensive?
No, you can chant 20. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Chant 24 hours a day. That's the instruction. You can always chant 24 hours. There's no offense.
It's not some interpretation.
Huh?
It's not some interpretation.
It's what?
There's not some interpretation.
One of the offenses against the Holy Name is to give some interpretation of the Holy Name.
Interpretation means... Like the Sanskrit scholars, they will say that Krishna means black, and black refers to ignorance, so Krishna means ignorance. That's to chant yourself to sleep. That is not giving an interpretation on the holy name. If you can chant yourself to sleep, that's very nice. But not your rounds at that time. Not lay there but finish your rounds while you're going to sleep. That you cannot. But once your rounds are done and you want to go to sleep and you lay down and you go, Hare Krishna, Krishna. That's very nice. You see? Actually, the time of death, we are going to sleep permanently. If one can chant Hare Krishna at the time of death, that's very good. So it's a good training for death to chant yourself to sleep every night, you see. When you go for the ultimate sleep called death, you can chant yourself to sleep then too. It's nice if you can chant yourself to sleep every night. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So anything else? Okay, we'll stop here. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.